He is also our vestibular concussion rehabilitation coordinator. He got his BA at Texas State, his DPT at the Medical College of Georgia, and he specializes in vestibular, ocular, and balance rehabilitation as it relates to concussions. All right, Chris, it's you.
Thanks, appreciate it. Morning, y'all. How's it going? So yeah, I do concussion stuff, and I'm just going to kind of go through what you would maybe see in the rehab realm of concussion. Rehab, specifically the PT clinic. How many of y'all are PTs here? Okay, and then the rest are trainers? Cool, okay. A few PTs, a lot of trainers. So for you trainers, just, you may not do a lot of this, right? But this is good to kind of know what we do in PT and keep an idea of, as we transition folks back to the training room with you guys, this is kind of the stuff that they've been going through, or maybe they're going through rehab with us. Well, you're gonna probably want to reinforce some of that back in the training room as well. So if you're seeing them do these crazy eye exercises and this and that, you'll actually know what that is. And then you can also help coach them along if you see them doing it improperly, right? So just keep an eye out. If you have any questions, feel free to ask in. And we can also go through a lot of this stuff in the breakout session, okay? So we'll go through and, you know, just recognize basic rehab principles for sports concussion. I'm going to supervise, and I want y'all to be able to appropriately supervise and help coach these folks through performing the vestibular exercises specifically, and then integrate vestibular rehab principles into the training room and into the clinic. All right, so for the rehab timeline, a lot of times the PTs may not be at the sideline, but sometimes we have some sport PTs at the sideline, but for sure you athletic trainers are at the sideline. So the initial injury, usually there's some kind of sideline assessment. It depends on where you are, what that assessment is. There's a bunch of different ones, right? But for PT, we don't typically see them until about a week or two later, and that's either in the physician's clinic or in physical therapy clinic, right? So anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks, we're usually doing therapy, and that includes vestibular and cervical, and a lot of time some aerobic progression as well, okay? And then from that point, we turn them back to the trainers in the training room and give them the return to play protocol, and you'll get them back into sport, right? So it's important to note that of high school athletes, 80 to 90% typically recover fully within 3 to 4 weeks. So 80 in 3 weeks and 90% in 4 weeks, okay? So if these folks are having more symptoms after that time frame, then you definitely wanna make sure they're seeing a specialist if they're not already, right? But, you know, at the same time, if it's been 3 weeks, don't freak out, because that's kind of when a lot of people start to resolve, and then 4 weeks when almost everyone's resolved. So it takes a little longer in those younger athletes. When it gets to college and professional athletes, the recovery is a little bit faster, typically. Okay. So what does PT help with? Well, we can help manage symptoms, improve balance, and improve gait stability. And the other thing I forgot to put on this slide was the aerobic progression. We help with that as well, okay? So in terms of managing symptoms, usually it's based on education and exercises, right? So dizziness and nausea, blurred vision, those typically come down to the vestibular rehab and some of the eye exercises we do. The headache can be there's a whole lot of issues why you get a headache after concussion. The one that's harder to treat for PT is when they have the post-traumatic headache, where it's kind of more their frontal headache. If they're saying it's all hurting in here, well, sometimes there's things we can do with that, but a lot of times there's not, right? But I think if we indirectly kind of address that, we can help calm it down. So sometimes there are some cervical and some vestibular issues that cause dizziness, and then as a result, the headache increases. So if we treat the dizziness, right, with vestibular exercises, then oftentimes you get a decrease in that headache because the brain has more available power to put towards the headaches and kind of heal the brain if you kind of take the dizziness and the, you know, some of the aerobic components out of there. So then also education, right? You want to make sure these folks aren't pushing into headache provoking exercises after concussion, specifically when those first, within, you know, first 1 to 2 months, you don't want to push into headache really at all. You want to try and minimize headache. For vestibular rehab, we do push into dizziness, so we'll talk about that in a minute in terms of what vestibular rehab entails and why that's important. But if they get dizzy with exercises and they can manage it, it's worth pushing into the dizziness, okay? So with fatigue and sleep, same thing. It's a lot of education on, you know, making sure that you're not taking tons of naps throughout the day, because if you do, then you're not going to sleep at night, and you do need those longer times of sleep. However, sometimes people do need naps, and you'll see some of these folks, they'll sleep 12 hours a night, and they'll, you know, still take two or three naps throughout the day. So that's probably too much. You want to try and help educate them on, don't take too many naps, try and stay active. If they're athletes, obviously these folks are used to being very active, right? And here we are, we used to say, okay, just go, you know, sit in a closet and turn off the lights and don't do anything. Right now, obviously, we don't do that. We're a little more progressive with the rehab and with the treatment. So now we try and get them into aerobic protocol and some aerobic progression as soon as possible, because these guys are used to working out. And then you tell them to just do nothing. It's not really conducive to improving the symptoms. A lot of times it can make the symptoms worse. So typically, you know, as you exercise them throughout the day and get them going on some regular exercise below that symptom threshold where you're increasing the headache, then you can typically help regulate a little bit of that fatigue and sleep. So we'll improve balance through vestibular rehab and gait stability through vestibular rehab, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. So the interventions that we use in PT and that y'all can use in the training room as well would be vestibular and visual rehab. Okay, there's three different types that are really important with concussion, and we'll talk about those in a minute. Balance training, typically we'll bias that with vestibular system components. And then we'll do cervical stabilization and manual techniques, some sub-symptom aerobic progression, and then there's the transition into return to play in the training room. So I like to do a smidge of that right before I send them back to the training room, because sometimes I've had folks finish with vestibular rehab, and they look great, and then the second they kind of push into the agility, they get symptoms right away. So I'll usually run them through the last maybe one or two sessions of our PT rehab. We'll go through some agility, like kind of light agility, and kind of mimic what y'all might start doing in the training room just to make sure they don't jump right into symptoms. Okay? So, vestibular and visual rehab. And kind of look at the first three bullets. There's three main things that we do for concussion, and then the last one's more of a, you know, combining them all together into one to try and really stress the system dynamically, okay? So, gait stability, adaptation exercises. We often call those VOR exercises in PT, okay, because we're working the vestibular optic reflex. You have times one and times two. Times one is where you're focusing on an object, and you're moving your head side to side, okay, as the eyes stay on the target. Times two is where you are moving the target side to side and your head in opposition, okay? So eyes effectively have to move twice as fast for VOR times two as they do for VOR times one. And we'll talk about all of the, you know, requirements of what we do for VOR training in a second here. Habituation is, you know, with specific vestibular rehab and like the neuro setting where you have folks with pretty high dizziness and symptoms, a lot of times it's positional habituation. So when I lay down, I get dizzy, not necessarily vertigo, but I just get real dizzy. So you try and move them into those positions slowly and habituate the brain to it so it becomes less and less sensitive. So it's essentially desensitization, okay? For concussion, you don't get a lot of positional dizziness. Usually it's more, there's like a visual dizziness, okay? So a few folks have seen these these athletes after concussion, they probably come in and they say, oh, you know, when I go, you know, driving in the car, or when I'm a passenger in a car, I get real dizzy. Or if I'm on a busy freeway, I get real dizzy. When I go into the hardware store or the grocery store and there's a ton of people, you get real dizzy. So a lot of visual input, sometimes it's not well integrated after the concussion, okay? And that a lot of times is what some dizziness comes from. And so that's what we would use habituation for. Interestingly enough, you would use gait stability exercises, so the VOR exercises, to help reintegrate and reinforce those visual kind of sensitivity patients. So convergence and accommodation. Convergence is more, I don't see the ton, but it does happen after concussion. So sometimes after concussion, you can get convergence insufficiency. So that's where you have an inability to focus on something as you bring it towards your face, right? So the eyes have a hard time pulling in, right? Sometimes there can be convergence spasms, right, where the eyes lock in and they don't kind of let loose, and you kind of have to shake them out a little bit. So this one I don't typically work on within the first couple weeks of treatment on folks, because as I work on the VOR and the visual sensitivity components, this will die down, okay? But it is one that if it's been a week or two and I'm not seeing any change in, I'll probably start focusing on it. And then dynamic movements, again, we're going to combine all of those together as much as we can in a sport-specific way, depending on what the athlete is in. Okay. So VOR exercises, known as gait stability or adaptation exercises, essentially you're pushing them into the dizziness that they get. So say, when I move my head quickly, I get dizzy. Okay, so what we do here is we just make them move their head quickly and feel like you're really dizzy, and that's the treatment, right? So with vestibular rehab, it's all based on an error signal to the brain to say something's wrong. And so the signal with vestibular components usually is nausea or dizziness or lightheadedness or imbalance, right? One of those kind of things. So we push them into any of those symptoms, and you push them enough to where they're kind of succeeding but kind of not, and then they get better, right? The brain says, oh, it's not comfortable to be super dizzy and wanting to throw up all the time. I'm going to make that kind of network of nerves work better. Okay, I'm going to make my brain understand this a little bit better. So that's what we do, right? And again, VOR times one is holding a stationary target or looking at a stationary target, right? If I'm looking at one of you, I'm moving my head. Right? VOR times two would be if I'm looking at a moving target and trying to move my head as well. And VOR, we see a lot of times we do side to side, horizontal is part of the VOR, but there's also vertical VOR. So we gotta make sure we incorporate both of those. Just recently had a patient that we did a ton of horizontal stuff, and I said, let's try just for fun, because I was about to discharge him. I said, let's try just for fun, the vertical, right? And we did that, and sent the dizziness off the chart. So the system's very specific, so you gotta make sure that you train it in a specific manner, okay? So as you see or as they report symptoms, you have to specifically train and treat those. All right, so usually with these exercises, we start with an X on the wall, right? So when we go in the breakout session, you'll see what we do. I'll get little post-its, and we'll put a little small, like 10 to 12 point font X, right? Sometimes I see people and they get a post-it, and the X is as big as the post-it, right? That doesn't make the eyes focus or strain hard enough. You want to make the brain have a hard time focusing and then push it into that symptom, right? So the more finely you train the system, the more specific of a result you get. So the duration of these depends on how dizzy the person is. Sometimes you start doing an exercise. A lot of times when people are real symptomatic, have a lot of headache, a lot of dizziness, I'll sit them down in a chair, and I'll put like the X on a wall, and they're sitting in the chair, and they're gonna do the eye exercise, right? Frequently, if they're really dizzy, you might have to start at somewhere on the metronome at like 60 beats per minute to 100 beats per minute, which is pretty slow. The VOR, the actual reflex, doesn't kick in until 120 beats per minute, and it goes up to 240. So if it's purely a VOR deficit, then that's where you would expect the dizziness to come in. So if they're having dizziness before that, usually it's because of that visual sensitivity, but you still do the same thing. You work them through it slowly, right? So if 60 is where they are, then I start them at 60, and I try and go for 1 minute to 2 minutes at a time if they can handle it. If not, you just go with what they can handle, and you slowly progress them, okay? With these, I typically push into dizziness, but I try and stay away from the headache. If it's been several weeks, maybe 3-4 weeks, and the brain's had some time to heal, and they're getting a little bit of headache that kind of goes up and down with the dizziness, I'm kind of okay with that, right? But in general, the rule is you don't push into headache, all right? So typically, I'm prescribing them 3 times for 1 to 2 minutes, and you're going to do that three to five times a day. Usually 3 times a day is what people end up doing. So they'll 2 minutes looking at the X, stop, let all the symptoms go back down because they'll get a little bit dizzy, right? And then you do 2 more minutes, let the symptoms go down, and then 2 more minutes. So that 3 times 2 minutes, and then you do that whole set 3 times a day. Okay, so 9 total each day. If you don't let symptoms go down in between, a lot of times it builds too much to the end where they may not be able to finish the full 3, okay? Sometimes they'll get folks come in and they're like, oh yeah, I did my exercises. And like, okay, how many did you do? Oh, I did it once a day. I was like, so if they don't do it enough, right, you're not pushing the system enough to make a change. So think of it like weightlifting, right? If I get a 2 pound weight and I'm just doing bicep curls with it, it's not gonna do anything because it's not stressing the bicep, right? You have to push it to where the system's saying, ooh, that's hard, and it makes a change. It's the same thing with the vestibular system, right? Okay, so go with that. The progression is pretty, straightforward. You would start in a sitting position, move to a standing position, and then move to, narrow base of support, single leg stance, BOSU, do it walking, weaving cones. We'll kind of talk about all this stuff and go through some of it in the breakout, but it's pretty much what it is. You go from static to dynamic, right? You can do it on a background. So I've also seen this where people have gone all the way up to 240 beats per minute on the metronome. And use a metronome. I didn't mention that earlier, but make sure you use a metronome when you're doing this, because a lot of times people say, okay, just hold the X and move your head as fast as you can until you get dizzy. But there's no way to really grade the progression of that, right? You don't know how fast they're going, you know, per se. You don't really know when they've maxed out at 240. Use the metronome and you know, first off, progression, and then you know if they're staying consistent with that. Like, oh, is today a worse day? Well, they can't quite make the 120 we had on that. Well, it's a good way to monitor and progress them, so make sure you're using the metronome, okay? So obviously, making the metronome faster, making them move the head faster is a way to progress that, okay? And then for the background, this is a pretty plain background. If I put an X on here, it wouldn't be a big deal, right? But sometimes I'll get crazy posters or I'll have people hold the X, right? Everyone hold your hand up, look at your thumb, and turn your head side to side quickly. Good. I see a lot of visual movement in the background, right? So the closer your background is to the X, right? So if the X is here on the wall, there's really no movement behind the X, but if they're holding the X in a busy gym or a busy training room, and there's a ton of people working out and movement behind there, they're gonna have a lot of symptoms, right? I have a guy that I've seen for the Texans, and the trainer there, Travis, makes him do VOR while walking through the stadium in the stands, and he'll go down, back and forth, weaving through the seats, which he says when he turns, and then, you know, it's a pretty steep stadium, so he'll turn and it's like, you know, the floor drops off below him and he's got the whole stadium moving behind him. So I'm impressed he hadn't fallen down the stairs, but it works, right? It's really symptomatic to that symptom or to that system. So you can really change that as much as you want and as creative as you can be. So that's VOR pretty much in a nutshell. And there's the home program, what I give folks. The goal is to have dizziness at around a 4 or 5 out of 10, right? If they can handle a little bit more, that's fine, but you want to make sure the dizziness recovers between the sets. Good, so balance training. I think most of y'all kind of know how to do balance training. I just put in all the different ways we can change that, stuff you might not have seen. The goopy goggles, if you have any kind of goggles in the gym or in the clinic, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll put ultrasound gel on the goggles, right, and you have them do balance exercises with that, so it kind of takes away some of the visual component, but they can still see some stuff and get some kind of visual integration, right? The big component with concussion, though, is this bottom down here where you see the cognitive demand, right? There's some good studies that show that, you know, there may not be a lot of difference between concussed and non-concussed athletes in certain balance tasks, but the second you add a dual task component to it, the concussion people just fall out, right? So you completely can tell and almost diagnose concussion as using that dual task, right? So maybe we've done a good job doing all this balance stuff. I'll start to add in some dual tasking while they're doing the balance, the harder balance components, okay? So any of your favorite dual task components, you know, count backwards by 7, have them list things, you know, if they're a sport, obviously athletes, list teams in a certain conference or teams along the West Coast, things like that, you know? So they're having to think, but it's not completely. Sometimes the count backwards by 7 just fully stumps people, so myself included, right? And then so you would progress that balance training to a dynamic progression. And a lot of times what I do for that is I'll have them do the VOR exercise on the BOSU or on the foam, right? Or walk the foam balance beam while doing the VOR. So that all works the balance part of it as well. Good. The cervical component, think about a concussion, right? You're smacking your head. It's affecting the head and the brain, but it's also affecting the neck, right? And sometimes the neck's neglected in this part of the concussion rehab. So make sure that we're looking at their necks. Typically are, especially when there's big hits on football fields and stuff like that. I know the trainers are great at like doing, you know, spinal screens, but way less than that, you can look at the cervical dysfunction, right? So say had a concussion and I'm getting real dizzy with moving my head around, okay, and just walking around. So I'm kind of not going to move my head freely. I'm going to lock in a little bit. I'm going to walk around kind of like this, right? I'm not going to move very quickly, and I'm going to turn with my body and not going to whip my head around. If somebody calls my name, I'll be like, right? So This is what they do. What does that do to the neck, though, right? It really closes down the joints, and typically you see issues in the upper cervical, right? So OA and AA. So we do typical, you know, some manual techniques and some stretching, cervical stabilization. It's all really important. Make sure you're focusing on some cervical stabilization for all of our athletes, especially our younger females, right? Because they tend to have, we're just talking outside, soccer, volleyball, these tall girls, right? Young girls that have these long necks, but not really strong muscles to support them. So make sure that you're focusing on some good strengthening. Obviously not just females, though. I've gotten some pretty macho football guys in, and I kind of have them come in and try and do a supine chin tuck and lift their head up, and they can't even do it, you know? So some of that after a concussion is because of the acute trauma to the neck, right? Just like if you have an ACL injury, you're going to have inhibition of the quad and some of the muscles around the knee. Same thing happens in the head and neck. So muscles become inhibited, and you want to make sure that you're training that area and just focusing on any kind of dysfunction that you see there. I would imagine y'all seen or done most of this stuff up top. I don't know how many people have used the laser for cervical rehab. Okay. So not a ton. So I brought a laser today, and we'll go through a little bit of that and show you what that looks like. Essentially, you're working on proprioception in the neck and kinesthetic components. So you have several different exercises we can do. Remember target, tracing shape. So remember target, you're going to have the laser on their head, right? You kind of line it up with their line of gaze, and they're going to look at the target, close their eyes, they're going to turn their head and come back. And then they open their eyes and see if they were back in that target or how far off they were, right? So you can see how that would give them a sense of cervical proprioception. So remember target, you can have them trace shapes or trace around the target circles. Head on body tracking, so you can have them hold, it could be the same X you use for the VOR, right? Hold the laser on the X and try and hold it on there as you move side to side. It sounds really easy, but it's a lot harder than it looks, right? And then you'll do, you know, body moving with stationary heads. So you can get a rotary chair and have them, you kind of move the chair side to side, and they have to keep their head stationary on the target. Difficult as well, right? So, you know, if I find that this is the target we use, by the way, okay? So if they make it within the yellow or the green from about 3 feet out, okay, usually in sitting, then that's within normal limits. If they're in the red or further out, sometimes off of the circle, then we're saying that's abnormal. So if they're really impaired with this, what I'll do is I'll have them get a ball cap and get a clothespin, and a lot of times we'll have them buy one of those little pin lasers. You know, a lot of them, I think they have them at the pet stores where I find them the most, right? But you can put the clothespin on the laser and have it push the button down, and then the other part that closes down, you slide that on a ball cap. And then they can do this exercise at home, okay? So, or if you want to know where I buy some lasers, I'm usually trying to have to Google and find some on Amazon somewhere, but they're kind of straight from China products. But it's hard to find some of those headlamps with lasers in them specifically. We'll go through this, if we have time, in the breakout sessions as well, okay? Couldn't pass up a little throwback, okay? So, sub-symptom threshold training. One of the big things we're doing more so now with concussion is we're trying to push them into aerobic exercise sooner. And if you've done concussion therapy or rehab for a long time, this is just like taboo from when we first started. But now we're realizing, again, if we pull them out of you know, aerobic exercise and have this super fit athlete then just do nothing, they lose fitness level, right? So then return to play is a real booger bear. Okay, and then honestly, it's just detrimental to the brain, to the fact that you have somebody that's been very athletic. I mean, it's detrimental in a physiological way, but also in an emotional and behavioral way, right? Because they, part of their identity is exercising and being with a team. If they can't exercise, then it's hard. So this is good in a whole bunch of ways, but the work was initialized pretty much by Letty and his group up in Buffalo, and they modified the bulk treadmill protocol and have attempted to standardize this aerobic progression, right? This is not part of the return to play protocol. So, you know, we're not trying to get them back into play from this. This is just progressing aerobic exercise, okay? Which helps to restore blood flow in the brain, right? Helps to drive blood into the brain and help heal the brain. And then it reduces the negative effects that we just talked about, okay? So some tidbits here. Usually you want to start about 1 to 2 weeks after concussion, or sometimes it's these folks that, you know, maybe I get them and they're 6 months to a year out and they've been, you know, kind of plateaued with symptoms and haven't gotten any better. This is one of the things I'll start them on right away because we want to get them exercising, okay? I do make sure that I get a clearance from the physician to start this. Most of my scripts that I get from the physicians we work with our system will typically say vestibular rehab and return, or not return, but anaerobic progression. So they'll write it on the script automatically when I get it. But if I don't have it, I'll just give them an email or call them out and say, hey, can we start this, okay? Good. So if all of their other symptoms resolve while we're doing this, right, then what happens is this is the last thing to go. And we're like, okay, you're done with PT. This is essentially phase two of return to play protocol. So if we get doctor's approval, right, and everything kind of resolves at the same time and it works out well, then they just jump straight into phase three of return to play protocol, which is agility, right, sport-specific agility. So that's happened a couple times for me. It's nice when it works out that way because it just shortens the time frame for these athletes getting back into play. It's just kind of one of the sheets we give them. You can see what we do is we put a heart rate monitor on them. We go start at 3.6 miles per hour on the treadmill. And then from there on, every minute, you just increase the grade. Okay, and so eventually, you know, once you get by, you know, around 10 minutes or so, most folks are starting to breathe a little heavy and have a hard time with it. Our treadmills go up to 15% incline. So usually by 15 minutes, 16 minutes or so, they're pretty pooped. But, you know, you get those occasional folks that just are in very good shape and they're still like at 120 or 130 with that. So I'm like, okay, well, at that point you try and probably jog them a little bit, but that adds a different component because when you jog after concussion, a lot of times there's some jostling. People say, oh, I feel my brain moving around in there, right? So, you know, I try not to jog, but if I have to, for some of those higher level folks, I do. Good. And this is what we give them to progress it. So if it's somebody they're not really worried about getting back into sport very quickly, we'll go by weeks here, right? So if they can work out at, you know, say we found out that their heart rate threshold, so we got them on the treadmill, increased their increased the speed up and the incline up, and they got symptoms at 150, right? We would start them at, let's say, 75 to 80% of that 150, okay? And then every week, if they're asymptomatic at that level, you progress it by 5 to 10 beats per minute. Does that make sense? If they're athletes that we're really trying to push back into play and they're doing pretty well, we're going to probably decrease that week-long interval into about 2 to 3 days, okay? Good. And then we also have them track it. This is probably the part that y'all might see in the training room because I give this to everyone, and a lot of times if I know you guys or I know who the trainer's going to be, I'll email this to y'all as well and say, hey, make sure they're filling this out. Let's track it and make sure they're doing things appropriately. Okay. The goal is about 20 to 30 minutes every day at the given kind of heart rate that you're trying to go for. So make sure they're using a heart rate monitor. You know, most of these, you know, wristwatch things and Apple Watch, all that stuff. A lot of these have a heart rate monitor on these days, and I think a lot of athletes typically have something like that. But if not, it's good to have one in the training room. Okay. So, you know, the transition to the next level is once they can perform the 20 minutes at 85% of their age predicted heart rate max, then that's when we can kind of say, okay, you've maxed out with that. And again, if they're at this point and they have no other symptoms, I'm talking to the doctor and y'all to see if we can just go straight into phase three of return to play. You know, like I was saying earlier, I do try and perform a little bit of a functional sport-specific trial in the middle of this stuff. So, at the end of the stuff. So last 1 or 2 sessions, I'm going to take them through the agility ladder, which is actually really good for concussion, right? Because think of the sequencing involved in the footwork. So sometimes when we need people to have faster feet and they have to problem solve through a certain kind of progression on the ladder, sometimes they bomb, sometimes they don't. But it gives me a good idea of where they are and if they're really ready for that phase three. Okay. And then again, you know, if you have issues or if I have issues, I'm always emailing physician, nurse, psych, trainer. I try and keep the team involved, you know, weekly or monthly, depending on what the patient's looking like. If it's one that's slow to progress, probably a little bit longer. But if they're trying to get back into sport pretty quickly, it's usually weekly or even biweekly, something like that. Okay. Good. I included this, and then the article by Broglio. This is a great little summary of vestibular rehab, okay, specific to concussion. It gives you, you know, some good, what's the impairment, what's the cause, here are the symptoms, what kind of factors are there, and then what is the treatment you would do in therapy. So this is kind of just a good summary, and that article is a good summary of what we do in PT for concussion. Okay, there are the references. And then feel free, please, at any time to call or contact me if you have any questions on this stuff, if you feel like you need to refer someone. Our concussion program number is this here, and our director's Dr. Ott. So a lot of times if they call the number, they'll get figured out kind of where they need to go, whether it's a physician in the area they live or set up with Dr. Ott, okay? Perfect. Any questions?
Anybody have any questions?
I have a question about the balance train.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use the balance trains like the Biodex or like a Paradynamics?
Yeah, those are great. Anything you can, so when I used to work at TIER doing neuro-based stuff, so obviously we had some more machine-based balance training there. At where I'm at right now in our sports clinic, we don't have like the Neurocom balance manager or the Burtec would be really cool, right? It's got a virtual reality component to it. Yeah, those are great. Those are great to use. I don't use that because I don't have it in my clinic, but you can usually manage without them. But I think they're really good, probably the Burtec too, because it's got a virtual reality component to it that you can probably stimulate the visual integration a little bit more, right? But those are good because you can help isolate the different systems between somatosensory and vestibular and visual.
Prefer a machine that's passive or reactive?
I think both are okay, right? I mean, if you're going to start passive, that's fine, but you want to get them to be reacting to things much better. So, it's all a progression. It depends on what the person needs, right? So, for athletes, you're trying to push them back into whatever that play protocol is. So,